You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
American 11, are you trying to call?
The cockpit is not answering their phone. Our number one has been staffed, and our five has been staffed.
I'm going to call from Washington. I am in a situation with American 11, a possible hijack.
What's going on, Betty? The craft is erratic again. Problems very erratic. Betty, talk to me. Betty, are you there? Betty? Betty?
The plane just hit the World Trade
Center. What?
It's the 737.
It what?
Like the World Trade
Center. Who are you talking to? Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It still hangs with us, doesn't it? This is September 10, 2021. The next hour, the second hour, is going to be devoted strictly to the events of 9/11. The key, of course, and we're not going to get in any politics, any views on that when it comes to the second hour. The key is with what's happened in Afghanistan. As I had an expert on yesterday, raise that very same question, Jim Carafano of the Heritage Foundation. Is the Biden administration making it easier for terrorists to plan and execute another 9/11? Different. A different scenario, but Americans will still die. Now, when we get into the second hour, I'm not going to get any of those points put in front of you, because I want to focus just on what we were experiencing and going through that day. You remember where you were. We all do. And even discussing it is horrific for many people. And I also fear that many of the major networks are cable networks and our local TV stations will sanitize it on this 20th anniversary, trying to not show it was as horrific as it was. And many listening to my voice maybe were not alive at that time, or they were very young. That's all in the second hour. The immediate issue that we have in front of us, and that is that Biden, in some words, the view of some, he's sounding like a dictator, while claiming his vax mandate is not about politics. He says it's all about health and safety for all Americans. Only for all Americans. I mean, that's the only purpose. It has no politics. And if it's really all Americans, there's some explaining that needs to be done. The basic line is the federal government's going to make sure and demand businesses have employees vaccinated or tested weekly if they employ 100 or more, and there'll be hefty fines if they don't. It is all, they say, to protect Americans. And yet our borders are wide open in the South. Many of those coming across are not even tested. If they are tested, they're held briefly. Or they may develop later because they test negative at that point. As long as that border is open as it is, this vax mandate is not going to be effective any more than what we're already doing. Not even discussing the Afghans are going to have to be brought into the country because we owe it to them. How are you going to protect all Americans and insist that the reason I'm acting on a federal law like this, which he even admits, I have limited authority, but I'm going to do what I can. In other words, he's already admitting that. And yet at the same time, he's bowing down to a lot of the unions. You know, one group, one prime group that is not under this mandate. I just told you any business, any federal entity should have to have mandated vaccines. You know, one group that is not? Postal workers. Postal workers will not have to do that. Their union stood up and said, no, we don't want that as part of the rule. And we're talking about 644,000 postal workers. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Or feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And I'm...
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is not about freedom or personal choice. It's about protecting yourself and those around you, the people you work with, the people you care about, the people you love. My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week.
That's the dictate from the White House. And the president even admitted in the process of doing that, he has limited power and questionable power. But what the hell? Let's go ahead and do it. Now, when he tells you about, I'm all about protecting you and your family, don't you want to do it? You want to protect you and your family and your relatives. And sure, you don't want somebody that could harm your family in your presence if you could keep them away, such as gangsters who have illegally purchased guns or something. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a different topic. No, it's not exactly. Or having terrorists sneak into our country to cause disasters and another 9/11. Oh, no, that's a different topic, too. That is not included. Yeah, you can make all your excuses you want as you go around and around in circles and say, no, this is all health. It's not politics. But you will never, ever, ever convince me that there's no politics and it's not just about protecting Americans when I see that the border is still open. The Biden administration, by the way, is slowly beginning to re-implement Trump's stay in Mexico policy. They don't want to make too much noise about it, but they're slowly beginning to do it. But still, we have many coming across on a constant basis. And we also, of course, had to worry about Afghans we're bringing into the country that we promised we'd take care of if they were helping us during the last 20 years in Afghanistan. And I want those folks taken care of. But we still need to also make sure they're properly checked for health and vetted to make sure they're not on the other side anyway. And companies already are beginning to react. Some are say that they're moving forward and say, we're going to file lawsuits. You can't order us to do that. 100, if you have 100 or more, you're going to have to do this or else. You're either going to have to vaccinate your employees or test them weekly. And yeah, some companies have already jumped the shark and already gotten into the water with Biden to that extent. United Airlines, they're granting those employees, I should say, are being told if you did have a medical or religious exemption, you're now being told you're going to be automatically placed on leave, unpaid leave. One expert says that is the harshest plan in America at this time on major corporations. United Airlines, based in Chicago, saying if you had a religious or medical excuse, then you won't have to. But now they're saying because of this, yeah, you will. And in fact, they're told you also have to become fully vaccinated anyway within 5 weeks. Or they will be separated from the company. Read, fired. And as I said, Biden's also in the process of doing all that, saying it's everybody and it's not politics. There's certainly politics involved when it comes to some of the unions. And they don't want to simply do what Biden says. And Biden is bowing down to the power of the unions. Perfect example, a federal agency, our U.S. Postal Service, 644,000 postal workers, their union standing up saying, no, we are not under your mandate. But what Biden is trying to do while claiming this is not politics, the first thing he does is start putting all the blame on, in particular, Republican governors, but anybody in leadership positions with the GOP. And when he starts doing that, he pulls the political trigger, obviously. Governor Tate Reeves, Republican, Mississippi.
The president and all of his team for months and months have been telling the American people that they would never issue a vaccine mandate. And once again, this president has gone back on his word and had done the exact opposite. The thing that struck me as I saw him saying that today was, you know, we live in America, and you would expect words like that from the president, maybe of communist China or of North Korea, but you don't expect words like that coming out of the mouth of the president of the United States.
Yeah, well, but they did, didn't they? And Governor Reeves is correct. Biden said in December of last year, here's his quote, I'll read it to you. No, I don't think it should be mandatory. We're talking about measures for vaccine mandates. He says, no, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand it to be mandatory. I would do everything in my power as president to encourage people to do the right thing, and when they do, demonstrate that it matters. That was December last year, and earlier this year, White House Press Secretary Saski was asked about vaccination mandates. Is that the future of the federal government or what they're going to do? She said her answer is, that's not the role of the federal government. That's the role that institutions, private sector entities, and others may take. That certainly is appropriate. Also, local communities are going to take steps they need in order to take care of people. Well, last night, one other thing from the Center Disease Control Director Walensky in July said, to clarify, there will be no nationwide mandate. I was referring to mandates by private institutions and portions of the federal government. There will be no federal mandate. Well, eat your words and go back to Biden and say, you're going to give me some ketchup to go with these because these taste terrible. And you yourself just said, you'll never do it. But last night he said, oh, our patience is wearing thin. We have to do it. He said the reason we're having continued problems with COVID and Delta variant is all because Republicans and those who don't want to get vaccines, and a lot of people that don't want vaccines are not Republicans either, if you keep that in mind. Many are independents. Many are Democrats. So when Biden says this is not politics, that's another lie.
There are elected officials actively working to undermine the fight against COVID-19. These pandemic politics, as I refer to, are making people sick, causing unvaccinated people to die. If these governors won't help us beat the pandemic, I'll use my power as president to get them out of the way.
Get them out of the way. Now tell me this. How's that going to resolve the cases where folks who have been vaccinated ended up getting COVID anyway? And while they had it, they passed it on to someone else also. Where are you going to draw the line? Remember, we want to flatten the curve? Oh, the curve is now a dip in many areas. And there are people legitimately concerned about the vaccine in some cases for their particular health. He didn't mention anything that anybody that needs a special dispensation for religious or medical purposes would not have to face that. So employers, you can work that out. And he didn't mention that because he wants to say, I'm the president. I'm saying it should happen and I want it to happen and we're going to do it my way. Now, Governor Tate Reeves, Republican of Mississippi, had said earlier, he sounds like a dictator.
The president tried to pick a political fight with Republican governors when the reality is he is picking a real fight with hardworking Americans. 80 million Americans. This president is saying to them, look, you can either get vaccinated or I, as one individual, is going to threaten your ability to feed your family. And that's just wrong. That is just wrong.
He's absolutely right. It is wrong. Again, that's Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, a Republican. The mandate, it will affect something like 100 million Americans. 100 million. He's going to have OSHA make a rule requiring employees and companies to be tested. Companies have to pay for the testing. They can pass it on to employees, the cost to their employees. In other words, you don't have to pay for your own test. You're going to have to take it, and you got to pay for it. And he's also mandating workers, if you have more than 100, you're going to have them vaccinated or test for the virus weekly. He's also signing an executive order requiring vaccination for employees of the executive branch and contractors who do business with the federal government. Oh, that might include Pfizer and other drug companies who have not given mandates to their own people to take our drug, our shots. And in those cases, no option to test. You have to have it. He wants to double federal fines for airline passengers who refuse to wear a mask on flights. It would require large companies provide paid time off for vacation. Yeah, I got that. That's a little plum, maybe, huh? Is that what they're trying to say? And in the process of doing all of this, when he's insisting the only thing here is to protect Americans, well, then why wouldn't you make sure you protect Americans in all aspects? Because they've got a little problem, such as Governor Pete Ricketts, Republican of Nebraska, describes. It's that H word, hypocrisy.
The president's forgotten we live in America. He thinks we live in the Soviet Union. And the hypocrisy of this is just unbelievable. We have weekly phone calls with the governors, the White House staff. The president has never once been on any of those. And yet he's got the gall to tell us that we're not fighting the pandemic. I will tell you, here in Nebraska, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, we have the third lowest fatality rate among people who have gotten coronavirus. And yet the president is going to use the coercive powers of the federal government to tell us how to do this. It is just unbelievable. And I can tell you, Nebraska will push back, fight back with any tool we can find against this huge and stunning overreach of federal power.
It is a federal overreach. But senior White House advisor Cedric Richmond, former Louisiana congressman, on CNN and NN last night with Don Lemon Fruitcake, declaring again Biden will run over governors or anyone else who gets in his way, but this is not political.
It's unfortunate that we have so many governors that are using vaccinations and mask requirements as a political game. But our purpose is to save lives, and we will do anything and everything under our control to make sure that we protect our citizens. And those governors that stand in the way, I think it was very clear from the president's tone today that he will run over them. And it is important. And it's not for political purposes. It's to save the lives of American people.
Every time they say that, you ask them, then you explain to me why the hell the southern border is not shut down. Totally. Right now. They don't have an answer for that because it is political. And they are in an overreach capacity. They know lawsuits will be coming. Biden has already admitted, I'm going to do what I can. I have only limited authority. But what the hell? I'm president now. I'm up out of the basement. I'm going to go get an ice cream cone shortly. When we come back, he's going to admit to you, I can only do so much, but I'll do everything I can.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi, where I don't want to be. Oh, oh, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Got me down in Mississippi, where I don't want to be.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
My administration has already acquired teachers at the schools run by the Defense Department because I have the authority as president of the federal system, the Defense Department and the Interior Department, to get vaccinated. That's authority I possess.
That's the authority I possess. But he's expanding the power. MSNBC Stephanie Ruhle posted on a tweet, OSHA doing this vax mandate, because again, he's having OSHA oversee this, and also fining companies $14,000 per offense. Stephanie Ruhle wrote, OSHA doing this vax mandate as an emergency workplace safety rule is the ultimate workaround for the federal government to require vaccinations. See what she did there? Well, the White House chief of staff did, too. He loved it. He immediately pointed out, look, we are pulling off the he retweeted it, basically saying, yeah, we are. We're pulling off the ultimate workaround. In other words, we're doing it just because we're in power and we can. And Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, said in his post in a tweet saying, courts in the future will be considering the intention when they hear cases. And that retweet by Klain, the White House chief of staff, could be problematic for future challenges, and there will be challenges. He said it's foolish for the White House chief of staff to do the quiet part out loud. And then as we're talking about, you've got the president claiming he has all this authority and so forth, then he can do it, and he's going to do it. But if you've got a powerful enough union, like the postal workers, 644,000 of them, Governor Ricketts, Republican Nebraska, says he backs off.
This is just more hypocrisy of President Biden to say that, well, we're trying to protect workers, but not postal workers, because apparently, for whatever reason, they don't have to have the vaccine. And I got to tell you, just as this announcement came out, the phones in my office were ringing off the hook with people who are just in shock about this. And business owners are calling me, telling me about how this is going to make it so hard for them to be able to run their businesses, the amount of effort to be able to get this done, the worry that they're not going to be able to keep people. The president really has done something that is just unbelievable that it could happen in our country. You know, Americans take responsibility for their own personal health care. This is not the job of the government to mandate how they're supposed to take a vaccine like this. It's just shocking.
And adding to that, Arizona Republican Ducey said, this is the kind of big government overreach we tried so hard to prevent. Now, I mentioned earlier that Pfizer, one of the vaccine companies, they were not requiring employees to be vaccinated. I got thinking, no, wait a minute, I think I saw them make a change on that. They did. You know when they did it? What is today? This is September 10. They decided back in August 4, telling employees, U.S. employees, when you return to work, you will have to have a COVID vaccine. You will have to have it. The Pfizer is a German drug maker. Along with, I mean, they worked in connection with BioNTech, and they were the first to get authorized in the U.S. So they decided. Now, what do you think happened first? Do you think Pfizer could see the writing on the wall, and they knew from talks inside the White House going to go ahead and do this? And so they thought, well, we'll do it here in August, and it looks like we're already ahead of the curve, and it's not like we're bowing down and obeying possibly unconstitutional rule by the president. Let me give you another example. Facebook just decided in late July employees have to be vaccinated. Of course, they phrase it as our offices open. We're going to require you to be vaccinated. Here's what I'm telling you. I think all of these groups, big tech, all of those real cozy with the Biden administration, all of those, of course, who tell us how to run our lives, they could see the writing on the wall and think, okay, let's go ahead and move this now so it looks like we're doing what should be done. You think? Well, I've got a heritage expert coming up on it, Doug Badger. I want to get his take on that and more. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Doug Badger. He's got a public policy career spanning more than three decades dealing with health and stints, including policy advisor of the White House, U.S. Senate, Department of Health and Human Services, Social Security. Doug, glad to have you on board. Welcome, sir.
Hey, Larry.
I tell you, I got a lot of questions to run through, so I'm going to be firing hard and fast. I want you to be able to give us complete answers as you'd want, but I have a lot of things to get to. Let's begin, first of all, your reaction after the president had said just as recently as last December, I don't see any mandate coming. I'm not even sure I could do it anyway. And he does it yesterday. Your reaction?
Well, I do think it's unfortunate that he's taken this approach. I also wonder whether he has the legal authority to do this. He's relying on a Department of Labor regulation that he believes gives them emergency authority to fine employers $14,000 for every unvaccinated employee or an unvaccinated employee who refused to submit to weekly tests. It reminds me a little bit of the CDC's moratorium on evictions, you may remember, that met an unfortunate end in the Supreme Court. You can't just, as an agency, do something that you think is good or the president tells you is good. You have to have legal authority to do it, and I expect this legal authority will be challenged.
All right, let's jump right down that road to begin with, because I was discussing that as well before you came on, and part of it had to do with a tweet by Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC saying, OSHA doing this vax mandate as an emergency workplace safety rule is the ultimate workaround. And then Ronald Klain, the White House chief of staff, actually retweeted it, and in response, Senator Ted Cruz said that wasn't very smart. Foolish, because he said the quiet part out loud, Bush administration knowing it's highly likely illegal, but they don't care.
Yeah, and we saw this again, not to bring this back, but with the CDC eviction moratorium, remember, when the first time it went up to the court, Judge Kavanaugh said, well, the administration says they're going to let it expire July 31st. It's already early July. We'll just let it go.
Yes.
And the president saying, well, to the Democrats, well, I really can't do this again. The Supreme Court said I can't. And then he did it anyway. And his answer was, well, by the time the courts get around to striking this down, you know, we will have gotten out a lot of rental assistance money and we've gotten our way. That was a case where the president acted cynically in blatant disregard of the law and in blatant disregard of the Supreme Court. Here, I assume that someone in his administration at least has told him that this is not, quote, the ultimate workaround, but that there are some sort of solid legal grounds. But we'll find out, I suppose, over time.
All right, let me jump into another area here within that context. Biden had said we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated co-workers. Now, there are two avenues I want to go down. One is, of course, a lot of folks who have been vaccinated still have gotten COVID or a Delta variant or something anyway. So you have to explain that. But aside from that, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated co-workers. And then the question is, so what are you doing about unvaccinated illegals coming into the country even as I speak?
Yeah, the inconsistencies really pile up.
I call it hypocrisy, sir. I'm going to be very direct, and I think you would too.
But in any event, the thing that I think is worse from a presidential perspective, remember how he entered it? He ended his address yesterday in talking about, we're Americans. Together we can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
After going on for half an hour demonizing tens of millions of people as saying that they were threatening other people's health, they were killing people, and then saying we have to protect vaccinated people against these folks. And then he says, oh, we're all in this together. Well, his job as president is to try to appeal not to the people who already agree with him, but to, in this case, to persuade people who don't agree with him. And insulting them and vax-shaming them and demeaning them is a really bad way to go about it, in my view.
And on top of that, he said this is not a political issue. It's not a political issue. The hell it's not. It's a political issue if you continue to have the border open, although they're slowly reinstalling the Trump Stay in Mexico plan. But aside from that, he's condemning Republicans in particular, Republican leaders, but it's not just Republicans who have been against vaccinations. I'm not talking about just being anti-vax. Some people just honestly aren't sure of the effects, you know, if it's going to be threatening to them and are religious reasons. Delta Airlines has suddenly decided that even if you have had religious reasons and so forth, you're going to have to go ahead and be vaccinated. And Facebook just back in June decided to, we're going to tell our folks they have to be vaccinated. Pfizer was not requiring it, but suddenly this month earlier they did. How many of them were involved in working behind the scenes with the White House saying, okay, we know this is coming, we're going to take our first strike so it makes it look like we're doing the right thing, and politically, they aren't.
Yeah, I mean, those sorts of political calculations are always present in Washington. But when you talk about the unvaccinated, I just want to be very, very clear. The president presents this as a political issue. He did it again yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
The people who aren't vaccinated are unvaccinated because they disagree with him politically and because they have cynical political leaders who disagree with him. Let me give you a couple statistics of who the unvaccinated are. The 18 to 24-year-olds, 48% are unvaccinated. 25 to 39-year-olds, 52%.
Mm-hmm.
That's the unvaccinated people. And by the way, their rate of new infection on a population basis is twice that of people 65 and older who have high rates of vaccination.
And in New York City, where you have to show a documentation you've been vaccinated to dine inside, 70-plus percent of the black Americans in New York City have not been vaccinated from ages 18 to 48. So they haven't been either. So somebody should be saying that sounds like segregationist racist law again.
Yeah, I mean, the president talks about Jim Crow and
right.
election law if you're turning black people away at a disproportionate rate.
Oh, that's,
rate
yeah, and to that point also, and Doug, you know, to that point also, you can't just show your vax card. You got to show your picture ID. You got to have an ID.
Right.
Yeah. So here's another question. One of my boots on the ground correspondents, Chicago, picked up this article, and I didn't get the exact source of it, but it's a guy writing he said he attended a conference in July. A lot of folks, you know, supposedly were unvaccinated. So he said, I wanted to get myself a test before I went. And he said, these rapid tests at home, in the Netherlands, you can buy them for $3.50, maybe up to $6 per. Why have we not approved rapid, low-cost tests in the USA under FDA approval? Because the FDA doesn't want those cheap, fast tests. Why not? That sounds to me, if you're really trying to get people involved, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah, that is so right. And to the president's credit, he did work out a deal with Walmart, I believe, and a couple of other Kroger's and Amazon to sell rapid tests at cost over the next few months. My expectation is they're not going to have adequate supply.
Right.
He's going to have trouble. But here's the problem. This is something that instead of trying to restrict people, it actually empowers people to know, do I have this infection? If I can test myself and know I have that infection, I'm not going to go out and socialize with people. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to talk to my doctor and figure out what I need to be doing to get over it. But instead, what we try to do is say, well, we're going to get the employer to threaten to fire the worker unless he or she gets vaccinated or agrees to these tests and so on and so forth. Why not give people the tools they need can determine
right.
their own course of behavior? That's never in, as the president says, oh, this isn't about freedom. Well, his policies, unfortunately, begin with the premise that freedom and personal responsibility have no place here.
Well, in the last 30 seconds, I have been vaccinated only because a close relative died, and my daughter has insisted because I am 15 years older than him and have had lost one kidney, so forth and so on. I've been in great shape. I ride Harleys every weekend in and out of bars with people and, you know, no mask on. I'm not drinking while I'm a Harley. And it's just, but I want to go something real very quickly from you. The WSOP, the World Series of Poker, which a lot of people are involved in, me too, they are now demanding that you have to be proof of vaccination to play, and a lot of people are just walking away from it. So, Doug, again, I thank you for your time. And we're going to be back down this road again with you because there's a lot more to come, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet. Doug Badger with the Heritage Foundation. Yeah, I have some people say they're not going to play at all in the SOP. Stand by for 9/11 preview. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm watching some comments come in on email and also on some of my other social media contacts, because I send out word when I can every day in advance of what we've got coming on. And I'm looking at one email. Since it's an email, I don't normally identify. In fact, I don't identify anybody other than by first name, because if it were public, well, then you'd see their name as well. But I think it's interesting. Name is Ronald, and he's saying, what if another 9/11 terrorist attack happened today? How would our fearless leader handle that? That's the part I'm more frightened of. But he said, for the record, I identify as vaccinated, challenged. So, listen, it's, as I have said over and over again, you make the decision that's best for you and your family. But based on what this president's trying to do right now, using the OSHA workaround, as they're describing it and admitting to, probably not going to hold up. You got numerous companies ready to file suit. 19 governors, 2 AGs say they're going to move forward with acts against the president for that decision. And by the way, Sweden, I think, at last report, is going to open up. They had been very closed down, but they're getting ready just to open up and say, okay, we're everything's good. We're moving forward. All right, that's a legitimate issue we need to be concerned about. Now, the person writing, I was quoting a moment ago, raised the 9/11 thing. Our next hour is going to be focused only on 9/11. I've got a lot of other stories in play in addition, but I spent this hour obviously on the vax mandate because it is a major issue for Americans, whether you believe in the vaccine or don't, or you've had it, you're not going to, and or if you think this is political, and how do you explain that you're going to protect all Americans, you have to have it, companies must do it. What are you going to do about the folks that aren't, don't have a job or are retired? What are you going to, how do you, it just goes around in circles. This really is not going to be that effective when you get down to it. It's just going to cause more division, more division. And if you can have the postal workers union representing 644,000 tell the White House, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to follow it. Some people will walk away from their job if that's what it is, and then they'll turn around and sue the companies. The companies won't deal with that part as well. But here's what's happened. We are so divided now, and it's such a shame. And I mean, I pray every night, God just wipe this from the face of the earth, this scourge that's affecting everyone. Even, and for folks who don't even believe in you, let them realize it's your hand that's made it better. And same thing with racism. Get rid of it. Bring us together. Unfortunately, sometimes it's like a death in the family. It's the only time you get everybody to come together and have a conversation and meet. Everybody promises, oh, we got to do this more often. Believe me, I've been there. We got to do this more often before something else. We don't want a tragedy to bring us together. Look where we are right now in honoring or not honoring police officers in particular. Usually the firemen do get, you know, more acceptance, but that's also sometimes not that solid. And where we are if it comes to race or religion, gender, now compared to 20 years ago. I want to take you back to David Letterman's monologue, 9/17, when he resumed his program and he made a point to raise this issue.
The phrase, New York's finest and New York's bravest, you know, did it mean anything to us personally, firsthand? Well, maybe, hopefully, but probably not. But boy, it means something now, doesn't it? They put themselves in harm's way to protect people like us. And the men and women from the firefighters and the police department who are lost are going to be missed by this city for a very, very long time. And my hope for myself and everybody else, not only in New York but everywhere, is that we never, ever take these people for granted. Absolutely never take them for granted.
Yeah, that does deserve applause, and it deserves us to remind ourselves that we should not take them for granted. On 9/11, it was the deadliest incident for firefighters and law enforcement in the history of the U.S. 340 firemen killed, 72 peace officers killed as they went in trying to rescue people. They ran to the scene of the disaster to do what they could do to help. I wave and thank and praise every police officer I pass. I hope you do the same. Same thing to the firemen, paramedics, any first responder. Second hour, I'll tell you now, it's only going to be 9/11. It might be hard for you to listen to and go through again, but I think it's important. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.